This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm waiting on a phone call, man. I just got done having a freaking blast going out there. I miss this. I've had a lot of time away from this. And I was sitting in the dugout. I was talking with Marrero. I was talking with Rumor. And I just thought, like, the feeling that I get out there, I can't replicate. And I miss it. I enjoy how I felt out there. I enjoyed after the game. I enjoyed even doing this. You know, I miss this.
I wish that it could wash away everything.
Holy smokes, the text line, my text line. I'm not giving you my personal number, but if you want to text our show, 37937 is on fire. Most people congratulating us for living out loud, having fun today, and putting on a Greg Hill show that hasn't even come close to the rails. How do you go off them if you haven't been on in the first place? Resetting the program. Hello, how are you? What's going on? Happy fourth weekend, everybody. Your old pal Nick Fitzy Stevens filling in today as the host, the driver, the pilot extraordinaire on the Greg Hill show. We got Wiggs, we got Courtney, we got Shime Time, and we got Coop filling in next to Shime Time today. Cool. Nice job on the audio. Coop, that was Chris Sale talking about his pitching performance last night. I believe one earned run, seven punchados last night for the Portland Sea Dogs, correct? Sea Dogs.
That is correct.
The Sea Dogs. Mm-hmm. What's the general feeling? So that's my lead, just as the show always goes. Mm-hmm. We do the leads every morning at 6:30. That's why I got to mine at 8:09 a.m. We're having a Carnival Cruise Line brawl of a good time here. Courtney just did a news story if you're just tuning in. Well, we had a lot of fun talking about Botox and the different places people get Botox. But Courtney shared a news story about a Carnival Cruise Line that had a brawl that went on for an hour. Texter in the 774 said, an hour-long cruise fight, that's longer than the greatest of all movie fight scenes, Roddy Piper and Keith David in They Live.
Ooh, that was a great fight scene.
Why did I just get a rim shot? That's actually the greatest movie fight scene of all time.
Was I don't know. I've never heard of it.
I thought
it was a joke.
Yeah, no, that's like a that's one of those cult classic movies.
If it was a joke, it'd be like, that would be the greatest movie fight scene, The Divorce from... Okay, I couldn't even get to Kramer versus Kramer. You Shime, I was on your side the first 2 hours, now you suck.
Shime, he's not going to know that
Wiggy,
movie.
That's the greatest movie fight scene of all time.
I think that movie's from like the late 80s, though, so
Shime... 1990, John Carpenter's 1990? They Live.
Okay,
dude,
yeah.
How could you... Shime, you're in touch with like all the memes, all the different sort of like, you know, things that...
Zoomer culture.
Okay, whatever. I'm boomer culture, you're zoomer culture. That's fine. How could you not be familiar with like the Obey, you know, the Shepherd Fairy thing, like that, a lot of those images of like the skeleton face or like the ghost face, that comes from what John Carpenter created and They Live, and there just happens to be, you put on glasses, you can see that aliens have taken over the world, we're all enslaved.
Boomer!
Yeah, what
are we doing? It's
John
a cult classic movie that came out in the early 1990 with Rowdy Piper, the wrestler.
Yes.
But it wasn't one of those movies that went straight to the theater. It was one of those movies that was like straight to VHS. So
it was out for a couple weeks, didn't make any money, but became kind of like for sci-fi. it did so it's in a the sci-fi world so what Office Space did. It was a flop in the box office,
yeah,
but then became a huge hit.
John Carpenter also did Halloween, right?
Yes, he did.
It's okay. like Hocus Pocus.
And he did Christine, and he did Starman, and of course, the greatest movie of all time, Escape from New York.
But Hocus Pocus flopped in theaters, and then it was a cult following after Hocus Pocus 2 announced September 30th coming to a theater near you.
Courtney's excited if you couldn't tell.
I can't wait to, as my dad used to say, rest in peace, Pops. Man, I can't wait to not watch that.
Gonna be very good.
No, it's gonna be great.
They Live was a classic sci-fi movie.
Yes, it was, with the greatest movie fight. Shime, it's a 20-minute long movie fight.
It's basically Peter Griffin versus the chicken in Family Guy.
Exactly. Or like any good Jackie Chan fight. If you ever seen a good Jackie Chan police
fight,
I'm just
gonna go watch Roadhouse instead.
Okay, all right.
Another good movie.
Take the
right
fight
there.
At great the movie. End between Patrick Swayze and the other guy who he ultimately thumb in the throats.
Literally rips it out
right there. Speaking of ripping out the jugular, hopefully Chris Sale will be able to come back and be effective for the Red Sox. That was my lead earlier this morning. For those that want the Red Sox to go and get those extra arms, the best case scenario for you right now until Chaim Bloom can figure out which right-hand reliever, and I want him to bring in somebody who can throw high and inside. I want tight 97 cheese. I want a nice 89-mile-an-hour slider so you can go up against your Vladdy Guerrero Juniors, your Aaron Judges, and get the necessary outs you're going to need to secure that wild card spot, because I don't think they're catching up to the Yankees in the AL East. But, Wiggy, you give me Chris Sale, who I think Coop told me hit 97 on the gun last night. That is about as hard as he has thrown the ball since before the Tommy John surgery, maybe since like early 2018 before the injury bug started catching up
to him. That's great, but how long do you get that?
I don't know. But perhaps, Courtney, you have your best shot at getting that for the remainder of the season. A half a season of Chris Sale, plus the potential return by, after All-Star break, probably trading deadline of James Paxton would give you two hard-throwing, crafty left-handers to add to
the Red Sox rotation.
You give me Eovaldi back, Nick Pivetta, who's been the sneaky MVP of this team. He's been the champ of the rotation. All of a sudden now, I think the Red Sox not only will remain relevant and competitive, are going to be a team to be reckoned with the second half. So I am thoroughly encouraged by an imperfect yet impressive stat line last night from Chris Sale.
Yeah, let's move past the like we talked about yesterday. Chris Sale is like the cherry on a sundae. If you have it, fine. If you don't, no big deal. I mean, the fact that we're like,
that's it. He can't be like the
hot fudge.
He hasn't been good in a long time.
He's been injured for a long time. He's been fragile. I mean, that's what happens when you have that much torque and you can disappear between two thoughts or a couple of
what
books.
What Chris Sale should be, or what decision they should make with him, is we need the Red Sox. They should say, do we put Chris Sale in the bullpen? And if so, where? Because that's what he is. He's no longer a starter no more. Last year when he came back, he was...
Wait, you're saying you want to go Garrett... You want to take the Garrett Whitlock approach the rest of this season with Chris Sale?
Yeah, he's not a starter.
Inning two or three.
Yeah, he's not a starter. We saw that last year when he came back.
That was last year.
His best performances in a while, when you're going back to, it seems like the World Series, his best performance is kind of him being, coming out of the bullpen. But it's still, if you're Chaim Bloom, I think Chaim, we talked about this yesterday with Chaim and Mutt, you got to go out, and Chaim wants a starter, Mutt wants some legitimate bullpen help, and whatever you get out of Chris Sale, great. But if you're counting on him, I think that's the wrong position to be in.
I don't know. As a matter of fact, if you get Garrett Whitlock back and healthy, the way that you can flex him and stretch him for 1, 2, 3, 4 innings, I think that might be a little too much with the way Pivetta's throwing. Hauk, of course, everyone's frustrated over the vax status over there.
Sale, that could be the same thing.
We're done with that. I don't think they'll go back to Toronto. I think we're done with Toronto trips, Shime, correct?
No, I think we have one more trip at the end of the season.
End of the season.
Into September, I believe.
Ah, now see, that's going to hurt.
Exactly.
That's going to be potentially, that could be bad news, because Toronto's going to be one of the teams, along with the Rays, maybe the Guardians or one other, that you'll be battling for the coveted wild card spots. If it comes down to not being able to bring Tanner Houck and not getting a power right-hand arm to replace him, you're going to be asking that much more out of Whitlock. You'll be asking that much more out of a bullpen that's been in tatters for the better part of the season, as, of course, we saw the other night when they go in with the lead. They get no outs. They lose. The big dramatic walk-off in Toronto. Like, it's going to be tooth and nail all season.
Just go get a guy who ain't hurt. Go get a guy who ain't hurt and stop having to depend on guys coming back from injury.
Chaim, you really want a starter? You don't trust Paxton coming back?
Well, so in my opinion, I don't trust Paxton coming back. I have no clue what the deal is with Paxton. And when it comes to Sale,
apparently throwing well and looking like to be on target from like all-star game to trade deadline.
Sure. Maybe. We'll see.
He's a good starter, man.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see. Like, at the same time, it's the same thing with Sale. Like, to me, they're just massive question marks. So instead, I would rather trade some stuff, get myself a starter, because worst case scenario, you're putting Sale in the bullpen or he can't even go. And then best case scenario, you just kick Rich Hill out of the rotation. It's like you traded for a starter. Eovaldi comes back. Waka, Pivetta, and Sale. Best case scenario. That's your five, which is a legitimate starting five, which is awesome.
And you don't need five in the playoffs. You're obviously going to shorten it to a three, maybe four-man rotation.
But
tops.
Until then, you may need that. And then immediately you are now bulking up your bullpen by allowing Whitlock to be where he should be in the bullpen. That's a right-handed arm that you desperately need. You can put Rich Hill in the bullpen. He's a guy that can go longer innings, knowing that if a starter is having a bad day or it's just a kind of a bullpen day, Hill can get you four innings no problem. Like, that's kind of the mentality I would have approaching this deadline.
Coop, you're a baseball isn't boring club member like myself as well. You got a power right-handed arm you wouldn't mind seeing the Red Sox get after?
Proud card-carrying member of the baseball isn't boring alum. It's tough because Heim is doing what the Rays did last year in building a pitching department that can't last a postseason. And they collapsed last year. You can win 162 as much as you can with doing this whole pitching by committee type thing.
Right. New Rays.
But we're witnessing firsthand right now what happens when you have guys that like you can't depend on for an entire season, or when you whittle it down to that three-man rotation, and then you have to get funky and start moving guys to the bullpen in positions where they're not comfortable. So I think they should go out. I would want to go out and get a bullpen arm right now. I'm not concerned about the starters, especially with Paxton and Sale returning. And Sale, watching Sale last night, oh boy.
Yeah, that's exactly why I feel really good about that. I'm very encouraged by what we saw last night. If he's uncorking 97 easy in a double-A rehab start, goes three innings.
Didn't he do that last year, though?
I know he's dad dunking.
He's
dad dunking on the 9-year-olds in the driveway.
He uncorked 97 in his rehab starts last year. We've been down this road with Chris Sale. We all want him to be the Chris.
Spent a lot of money. You're going to have to go down that road now, Wade.
He's not the same Chris Sale that you think about from 2017 or even what you saw in 2018. He is a guy that you need to put in the bullpen, and maybe he comes in, you know, in the seventh inning, couple innings for you. You got to figure out what you're going to do with a closer. What's the closing situation?
That's the thing. I should be able to rely on Houck, but if I'm going to come down to a series against Toronto at the end of the year for a wild card berth, or if they should happen to play each other in the postseason, and he ends up not being able to pitch given the talent that he has,
but
and how much they might
heard from Chris Sale, he wouldn't be able to go either.
But Mutt said Houck is, even if he can't pitch, is not a closer.
He hasn't been great in the closers.
Right. So he's not a traditional closer. So
what happens first? Quality start from Chris Sale, or you try Prosecco?
I probably try Prosecco.
Okay. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Thank you for watching on Twitch. Thank you for listening on the radio, perhaps on the Odyssey app and more. We got a whole lot more show for you. 9 o'clock, Andrew Raycroft, the Razor, checks in to give us a little insight as to the new potential or very likely coach of the Bruins, Jim Montgomery. There's other news to share. Courtney's got it for you here with Trending.
Merloni, Fourier, and Mago.
Weekdays, 2 to 6.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Want to know how to turn up game day while rooting for our beloved Red Sox? Simply crack open the Monsta flavor of Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea. Smooth, refreshing, real brewed tea. Look for the bright yellow cans at Fenway. Twisted Tea, keep it twisted, Red Sox Nation. So we've got Jim Montgomery as the Bruins head coach. That's what the reports are saying. His assistant coaching contract with St. Louis has expired. Mm-hmm. So hopefully we could be chatting with the new head coach in the coming week. Perfect Friday of a long holiday weekend news dump for your Boston Bruins. Shime tweeted that yesterday and I laughed out loud.
Yeah, it's basically just a nice little news dump going into the long weekend. It's like, ah, here's your new head coach. You have one day to talk about it. We won't even officially announce it until actual Friday. Here's just the report.
But wouldn't you appreciate, at least I do, it's been a topic of conversation, your lead earlier this morning on the program, Shime, something that'll get parsed over, analyzed, and chewed on all weekend long here. So I'd appreciate it now, like I said, as opposed to like Saturday afternoon, then it interrupts everyone's cookout, or you're at the beach, next thing you know, like, well, what is this push alert? Oh, my.
Well, then shout out to Matt Porter at the Globe, because he's the one that had the report. So
nice
good job by him.
Yep. Matt Porter. Now, Wiggy, have you ever enjoyed a porter before?
Porterhouse steak? Yes, I've tried one
similar
of those.
To a stout.
And how about a little back and forth between Draymond Green and Jaylen Brown? Ooh. Here's what Draymond had to say on Old Man and the Three.
When Jaylen Brown went in the media and said he tried to pull my shorts down, I knew I took his heart. I knew I took his heart. And not that I'll have it next year. I got to regain it next year and next time we play him. But I knew for the rest of that series I had him. Because you know you're standing over me. And you're going to go to the media and say he was trying to pull my shorts down. Like, come on, bro. You standing over me. Like, own it. I got to tell all these, stand on that. You got to stand on business.
So Jaylen, quote, retweets this, says, you can say whatever when you win. Then he put a corn emoji, which I didn't really understand.
You could say whatever.
Draymond's corny.
You
Draymond's
can say corny, whatever yeah. when you win.
Okay. Oh, when you win.
No, he said when you win. But yeah, maybe he meant when you win.
All right.
The corn emoji, Draymond got a podcast and lost his damn mind. You could never.
Yeah, Draymond ultimately got the last laugh and was reasonably effective, disappeared, came back with great fury and furious vengeance at the end of the series. I'm kind of like, now I'm overhearing from him. Like, he had his time.
But he gets it,
he
though.
He didn't take Jaylen Brown's heart. Jaylen Brown was fantastic in the series. But you're all over.
That's
you're
the
all
great
over
thing of
that.
When you're cracking on people and you have that back and forth and you're trash talking. Mm-hmm. If you lose, that person that has been trash talking with you now has the ability to trash talk you until the wheels fall off.
That
and
is
you,
true.
What can you say?
Yep.
So he can do that.
And your Red Sox played today in Chicago. First pitch 2:20 with Rich Hill on the mound. You can tune in right here on the Shaw's and Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Network. Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. And make sure to join Mutt for the Visit Massachusetts pregame show at 1:20, sponsored by the Massachusetts Office of Travel and Tourism. Start your Massachusetts adventure at visitma.com. So a day like this, so do we not have Marloni, Fourier, and Mego because of the game?
Let's see.
What time's the game?
2:20 first pitch. We probably
I don't believe so. We probably get the day off. Oof. Extra long weekend.
Either we'll either we'll have. Is it going to be?
They don't come on afterwards.
Is it going to be FMF or
FMF? No, I know Courtney hit
MFM. That's what it technically
Courtney,
is.
Courtney, yeah, MFM. But Courtney hit me to the other thing. It's MFF.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yep.
So
that's how I pictured in my mind.
Yeah. So
I don't think we'll have them today. So they'll be able. Wow. Look at them just coasting right and easy straight through
pretty
that
nice.
Holiday
somebody
weekend.
Afterwards. Won't they? What's after? Is it post?
Well, it depends what time. I believe.
It depends on what time. They may have to check in for a brief show.
Right.
Before you get to a nice chunky Mutt at night. I don't know if does Mutt have to do a show tonight.
I know Mutt is actually doing the midday show today with one Rich.
So
Keith.
You might get
it's Mutt and Keith.
So you might get a quickie MFM.
Oh.
We are not in safe harbor. We are veering dangerously towards
Maloney,
FCC waters that we don't.
And Mego.
I love Fourier.
What did you just call
Fourier? That's it. Good night, everybody. We will see you on Tuesday. This is WEEI. You said Fourier. You combined Fourier with Mike Florio.
I combined Fourier.
Somewhere Curtis is peeing his pants.
With Mego.
And
like
also,
yeah,
Courtney, since you were doing headlines trending, you also did the news earlier in the show, a lot of laughs. Any update? Does Curtis have a baby yet?
I don't believe so. Curtis is tweeting heavily again today, so I don't think, unless he's sitting in a hospital, but I think we would know if something was.
Well, now we got the show
moving.
Name when Maloney's out. Fourier.
Yeah.
It's just Fourier.
That sounds like Christian's like magical cousin. Fourier. All right, so the Fourier Show, a.k.a. the Greg Hill Show with Fitzy at the wheels, with Shime, Wiggy, and Courtney returns in just a few moments. Oh, but you know what? First, hey, you're stuck in traffic. You're thinking, what's the weather going to be like when I get to where I'm going today for this 4th of July weekend? Chris Shime, take it away.
What do I have to pack?
You got to make sure you're packed for hot weather. Today, it's going to get up to 92 is the high. It's currently 72, so it's beautiful outside right now. Sun's just peeking through the clouds. A lot of clouds in the sky. It's also going to be really warm this weekend. Might have a chance of thunderstorms tomorrow. It's going to be a high of 84. Sunday, a high of 86. And then Monday, again, bright, sunshiny day, high of 85. So a nice weekend in the 80s. So pack accordingly, Courtney.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I be like, shoot, sunset on the beach. Make me wanna pull up on Miami with the heat. I don't know about you, but I know about me. Summertime in Florida, catch me sliding on the key, yeah. Something's happening inside of me. Excellence, yeah, it's gotta be. Hot and cold, it's dichotomy. Rock with me, we some prodigies. La-di-da-di, we party. The heroes down in the lobby. We try to tell them to join
nice
us.
Nice when
they don't, they'll be sorry. No time to be at it.
You're on a sports radio morning program, and it's a holiday weekend, and it's around this time of year when many think it to be one of the more, I won't say dead, but more dormant, less headline-oriented points of the year. You got no Olympics coming up. Football, you don't even have camp opening for nearly a month. There's nothing Patriots-related since they're still like the top team in town, though the Celtics would probably like to have a word. And this, I won't say perfect storm, but a confluence of topics coming together, like your previous ace who hopes to once again return to the top of the rotation, making an effective and impressive rehab start last night, meets with the opening or the tampering period beginning of NBA free agency, and your hockey team is likely hiring a new head coach, a surprise head coach. That gives you, that's a lot of meat on the bone, Wiggs. That's a lot to talk about. That's that's exactly how I like it. Like, no conversation from sports radio to whatever bar, brewery, backyard, or barbecue you happen to be at this weekend should be for lack of topics, conversation points, or the normal, you know, sports idle chatter that you can make with family and friends. Now, Wiggs, let's say, here we go. Ready? We are. Yes, Ms. Courtney.
Well, no, I'm just like looking because you can pull up the 2022 NBA free agency, you know, lists, and as the tweets start flowing in. And it, I just never will get over the amount of money, you know, as a layperson, it is unbelievable. Like, you look at these guys, Ja Morant, 5 years, designated rookie max extension, likely worth $231 million.
Potentially the only player I would say that is absolutely worth every penny.
It is, yeah, but guys,
what about the Joker? 247.
Pretty close. Yep. Yeah, he got 265 years, 264. Oof. And in Denver, that'll get you like, wow.
I don't. Denver's getting a little bit more expensive.
Denver's a nice, sneaky, nice city.
Carl, a lot of people moving to Denver nowadays.
Well, why wouldn't you? 300 days of sunshine, my guy. Good art scene, amazing beer and food, every outdoor sport you could imagine.
Yep.
Great weed is legal.
Yep. Yeah, well, it is here too.
Carl Anthony Towns might have to
swing by and load up my pen, get some gummies for the weekend on the way down.
4 years,
don't shake your head at me,
Sean.
You do it too.
It's basketball.
Carl Anthony,
I know. It's just, I will never get over it, I guess.
No, well, the one, I mean, it's not, well, how about, I mean, Patrick Mahomes, you know, 10 years, $450 million.
Right.
Yeah, but that's not real money, though.
I know. It's all about the upfront money, the guaranteed signing bonus.
NBA and baseball and hockey, you know, that's real money. Like
Mike Trout, 12 years, $420 million.
Definitely the NBA and baseball. Like, that's real money. Like, Bradley Beal is getting every dime of that $251
million.
Unless there's some buyout in the last year of his deal.
Yeah, and wouldn't you like to be John Wall, have $47 million due to you this year,
right,
but you don't want to play for Houston, and they don't want you to play for them.
Right.
So you agree to a buyout. We don't know what the figure is, but they basically tell you you can sit here and do nothing and you'll earn $47 million to be miserable in Houston.
Right.
All right. Still goes a long way, even it's tax-free, okay, but it's not where I
want to
be.
He made that last year, 44
right,
or something.
To not play basketball.
Just chilling.
Nice job. Would love to know where I can get it. So he gets probably, let's say they do a buyout. Let's say they give him $25 million. Mm-hmm. We'll just throw a number at it. $30 million. Now he gets to go pick his choice, and he can go play for, like, what, the mid-level exception with the Clippers? I guess that's where John Wall's headed.
Yep.
Must be nice. Mm-hmm. Must be nice. Devin Booker.
Is that 2014. Capitalism at its best.
It really is. Right, system that is incredibly flawed and will probably collapse under us in a few years. So get it while you can, guys.
You can make it. You know,
Deshaun Watson. I don't know. Jump that ship.
I don't knock the hustle. If you can make it, you can make it.
230?
5 for $230. Fully guaranteed.
Right.
But first year,
Cleveland,
just a million.
Get out now while you can.
Do you
find
see,
the void do contract? You, kill
do you,
it.
Do you see what the Denver Broncos was the team that just sold for? Right.
Yeah, $4.6 billion.
Right. So you see what owners make?
Yeah.
I mean, you're really tripping over $250 million.
They'll tell you it's
million?
Not their. The whole thing is like I've heard Lou say this time and again. Like, you know, listen, it's not our money. We're not spending it. We shouldn't have to worry about it. But what makes it so strange in the NBA with these salaries is like you're only supposed to spend like whatever the cap figure is, like $85 or $90 million.
Cap is crap on the show.
But cap is crap ultimately and most effectively in the NBA because Golden State will tell you like, yeah, we spent $300 million on the team. Like, how are you allowed to do that?
Right.
They went over the luxury tax.
And they pay like they're willing to pay the luxury tax.
Guess what? They got another ring for it.
Which is why Brad Stevens said, you know, Wick Grosbeck told us, you know, the full Captain America, whatever it takes.
Uh-huh.
Like that you guys have full authority to go out and do whatever they want. Now, the Celtics
it brings you
have,
more money. If the Celtics should go out and get Durant, that would ultimately bring this organization more money.
But they have a mid-level exception. They have the TPE from the Fournier deal, which I think is $17.1 million. I would like to see them trade for Kevin Huerter in Atlanta. The kid can average anywhere between 14, 18, 20 points. Decent defense. Very good three-point shooter. I want someone, Wiggs, that is going to come off the bench. You need a wing or a guard that can shoot the lights out, give you instant offense. And also, I very much have interest in Danilo Gallinari. I think
see,
that ain't winning
a
you a championship,
fit.
Though.
But Kevin Durant could fall into the category that we've seen play over and over again here in Boston. And we've had some serious flops when it comes to the Celtics team. I don't even know which one's
He's
the biggest.
So sensitive,
you
Gordon.
Could say it was Kyrie. You could say it was Gordon Hayward.
No, Kyrie, though. I would say
Kyrie's a head case. Gordon Hayward broke his ankle five and a half minutes and was never
but
the
that
same.
But those were two people that we thought when they were coming here, we were like, this is it. I
thought Gordon Hayward was a little bit overrated.
Oh, everyone was like, oh, he and Brad Stevens have this unbelievable relationship.
The Butler days, they almost win the national championship.
People were excited about Kemba.
Remember how mad Jay Crowder was because the Celtics were cheering for Gordon Hayward every time he touched the ball, trying to show when he played for Indiana before he became a free agent, trying to show him some love and appreciation, if you will, before
he
came.
But you know
here.
What Kevin Durant is. Like, you know exactly what you're getting. You know
an aging asset.
You know what Jason Tate, he's still one of the top five best players in the NBA.
I don't think he's top five anymore. All Who's your top five?
Giannis, LeBron, KD. I had to put Curry up there. I had Tatum right at the mix. I got Tatum six now.
You had Joker,
now.
I thought.
What no, and Luka.
Oh.
That's six.
No, it's five. Tatum's six. Just, he's on the outside.
Tatum six?
Yeah, he was in there, but he slipped out after six. His championship performance.
See, Luka might be my, Luka, I'd start with Luka. If I could pick any one player from any team to start my NBA franchise with, I would start
with Luka. Well, that's different. You're starting a franchise.
If that guy ever gets in shape, sky's the limit.
He's in pretty good shape now. You've seen pictures of him playing.
You
and
would put him over Steph?
Right now, if I could. He's so much younger than Steph. Yeah, I mean, Steph.
Well,
I
Giannis.
That's different. Starting a franchise, right, but we're talking about the top five best players in the NBA right now. LeBron, KD is still there. I know he had a bad series against the Celtics, but he's still legit. He was on pace to MVP caliber. They were talking until he hurt his knee. KD, Giannis, Steph, you got to give Steph that man his flowers, and Luka. And Tatum's kind of right there. And if you, the Boston Celtics, have the opportunity to align a guy who's right there at number six as far as top, you know, five, six best players in the NBA and align him with a guy that I believe in KD is still a legitimate player, you do it. KD's only 33 years old.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know why I thought he was much older than 33.
No, he's only 33. I mean,
Durant? I thought he was 34, 33, 34, regardless. He's been in the
Steph
league a
Curry,
long time.
Curry's 34.
Yeah.
Kevin Durant is a full 7 feet tall. Steph Curry is a 6'4", smaller, different body type, different game. His game
different
is completely
style.
Based around an entirely different style of basketball.
And KD doesn't play like an explosive game, so he's not a guy at 37 38 where you're like, broken. Oh, he lost his leaping ability. He can't play like Annie. You brought up the point. He's the 7-footer that can shoot. Right. So that is something he's very similar in the sense of like, and I always looked at like Paul Pierce in this way. It didn't really matter about Paul Pierce's athletic ability because his game didn't that wasn't his game. You know, some guys, if they're not that type,
he was never like Paul Pierce never was super fit. Paul Pierce was never like ridiculous, like never Ray Allen fit, if you will.
Or he played that explosive game like Russell Westbrook, right? If that explosion goes, now you're a different player. Like KD, he's still going to be at, you know, one of the best players in the NBA when he's 36, 37 years old because of the style he plays. Not lining him up with Jason Tatum, just because you want to keep Jaylen Brown or whoever, you're missing out on a window of getting a championship.
Do you think KD would want to come here?
I think so. He wanted to come here a couple years ago. He really respects Jason Tatum. Right.
And then he said no to Tom Brady, and
but
he was dead
really,
to me, that son
of a really
bitch.
Respects Ime Udoka. So that is, those are two guys that he really respects that he wouldn't mind playing for.
We will see if the allure of Jason Tatum having gone to the finals and Coach Udoka pulling the Celtics out of that midseason tailspin and turning them into a potential finals contender going forward as well is enough of an allure. One quick call before we go to break. Steve's in the truck. He would like to, get this, disagree with Wiggy. Good morning, Steve.
Hi, guys. How are you? Fitzy, welcome back to the show.
Pleasure to be here, sir.
Wiggy, yep. Wiggy, you and I have East Boston roots, East Boston, New York, and the whole thing. I love you.
Mm-hmm.
But you're on a pipe dream. He is not coming here. Number one, he doesn't respect the city. Never mind the coach and the players. He was in the background saying how racist we were with Kyrie. So he doesn't have respect for the city. So that's number one. Number two is you're going to give your whole team. You can't play with two players. You give up all these assets. You got nothing in return for him. You know what I'm saying? You got nothing back. What are you going to do? Throw scrubs together to play? Have two guys that can play and then the rest of them are garbage? It isn't happening. He's going to Phoenix. I'm going to tell you right now. He's going to be in Phoenix. That's going to be the team he's going to. Because Miami won't give up Adebayo. And that's what you have to give up on.
Well, Phoenix got to give up. Steve, package, Phoenix right? got to give up a ton of players. Phoenix got to give up a ton of.
Who? Who are you going to give up?
Who, Phoenix?
Who are we going to give up?
You would give up.
We don't
you,
have.
You would give up. You'd probably give up Jaylen Brown. Right, you don't
yeah,
have to don't have to necessarily throw Marcus Smart into the equation, but maybe you give up Jaylen Brown and you give up Time Lord. Then you're throwing in draft picks. You might throw in like a Peyton Pritchard. That's what you have to give up.
Yeah, but your draft picks are going to be in the high, you know, the high scale. You're not going to get anything good with draft picks. They want assets and they want them now.
But the asset that they're going to get is Jaylen Brown. No other team is going to be able to give you a young 25-year-old superstar like the Boston Celtics can give. Because fortunately for them, they have two of them.
But the way we talk about Jaylen Brown, not me, because I like the guy. And I know he had a tough series with the dribble, but he did score. If he's as bad as we talk about, then is that enough for them?
Yeah, that's enough for them.
They got a shell of a team.
Right, but Brooklyn.
I don't think it's going to happen, brother.
Brooklyn's not looking at Jaylen Brown.
I agree with you, and thank you for the call, Steve.
Brooklyn don't look at Jaylen Brown as, oh, he's not like a disrespected player like we treat him around here. Mm-hmm. You don't think.
It's such a risk, though. If you trade for KD and you give up on someone like Jaylen Brown,
right,
who's
it 25 doesn't matter,
and Durant
though.
Is almost a full decade older.
So what?
You have Jaylen Brown for two more years.
You're trying to win now.
Deal.
You're trying to win in
you
the next.
If the Celtics took
the
care of business
years.
In game four and they were able to get some auxiliary scoring when Golden State played phenomenal second half defense and Steph shot the lights out,
right,
if you could
you
just get, squeeze
enough,
a couple
Fitzy,
more
you
points.
You let me ask you this.
You're this close you want to go this far and blow up the infrastructure of a team on the rise?
It's not going that far. You have, with KD, you have a 4-year window with KD and Jason Tatum to win a championship. You only have Jaylen Brown for this year and next year, and then he's probably flying the coop. So you have KD for a 4-year window. Your likelihood of winning a title with Tatum and Kevin Durant is far greater than with Tatum and Jaylen Brown.
I don't trust that KD, if he came here, would stay for 4 years.
Two years.
Yeah, but
and also he's playing on a rebuilt Achilles.
Yeah.
Like
you can't know that the Achilles injury is a couple years ago. You can't look at it and go, oh.
Has he been the same since?
He's been actually pretty good. He's been really good.
Yes, very good, but you're not getting You're not getting 40 points a night, can show what? Up LeBron, Golden
yes,
State,
you can.
Durant.
Listen, you got to look at this situation here. You have Jaylen Brown for two more years. KD, I don't think you're looking at a guy who's going to come here and then fly the coop. Why is he going to fly the coop?
I don't know.
He got the coach that he likes, and he got Jason Tatum.
Yeah.
What happened in Brooklyn?
Seemed like he and Kyrie were real buddy-buddy in the beginning, too.
He didn't like the coach. He didn't like how the coach operated in Brooklyn.
And what about Kyrie?
Kyrie and him, I don't know. You know, it seemed like they were cool, and who knows what. Maybe he likes Kyrie, but there's too much to Kyrie. With Tatum, there's not too much to Kyrie. Anybody who doesn't do this, man, I just like, yo, I don't even know what to tell you. You looking for a team that is trying to piece together a struggle to get to a championship.
37937, if you would like to weigh in on the text line as to Wiggy wanting to offer up one and every Celtics player not named Jason Tatum for Kevin Durant.
But you don't have to do that. That's me being facetious.
Okay, but at the same time, you are kind of saying you could basically, it would be Jaylen Brown and, which is a hefty price to pay considering what a team-oriented effort that was
but you're probably
in the
gonna,
great turnaround
you
Celtics.
Probably get to keep one, whether it's Time Lord or Marcus Smart.
You cannot part ways with Time Lord. On this point, we disagree greatly. 617-779-7937 is the number. 15 minutes from now, we're joined by Andrew Raycroft, the Razor, to discuss Jim Montgomery, the likely new head coach of your Boston Bruins here on WEEI. Checking into the text line, 617. JB and Time Lord for KD. Come on, Wiggs. That's stupid. 508.
Explain to me why.
That's just what they said. They can text back. Call in.
Yeah, explain to me why.
508. Fitzy's annoying. He sounds like David Spade. Okay. Tommy want wingy, huh? What'd you do? Let's see. 774. If Wiggy thinks Brown's a young superstar, why would you trade him? He also wrote superstar.
Because I would trade him.
Greg is a superstar. Jaylen Brown is a
superstar.
Because
I would trade him because I might have misspoken. I don't think Jaylen Brown's a superstar. I think he's like on that, you know, all-star border line of player. But I would trade him for a legitimate superstar in Kevin Durant.
603, the Celtics have already said they will tweak the roster, cut the turnovers in half, and they will be right there again. I could not agree more. Coco, this one's for you. 978, tell Coco to check out the stouts at Modest Roots Brewing in Tingsboro.
Tingsboro. That's where my parents live.
Well, that place is new, I believe, actually.
Yes, it is new. By the way, Tingsboro, I don't know why, for some reason, I just love the name of that town.
Oh.
Maybe it's because I love the name of the man, the Ting Tings. Shut up and let me go, whatever. I do know a couple songs
written in the last
20 years.
So let me ask you this, Fitzy, because you
Tingsboro.
Believe it. So you run it back, you add the piece that you want, the kid from Atlanta. You think they're winning?
Get him a backup big, they're right back at
it. No, I didn't say right back at it. Are they winning the championship?
Let me tell you.
So yes or no?
Not necessarily.
Okay, so, all right. So
let me tell you why. Because
for?
The Celtics
You're
had
too-
probably the clearest path that they're going to be able to get.
Bingo.
Because Chris Middleton comes
Thank
back,
you.
And it's that much more difficult
you.
When you have to go through
so
Milwaukee.
You are not playing.
I'm worried about the West. I'm worried about the East.
Right, but you are not playing for. You've made it to the Eastern Conference Finals and won. Now the next step is.
Seven games and you barely got by Miami.
Right, right. But that regardless of it, the next step is how do you win a championship? And so I ask you.
Scoring more points than the other team.
So I ask you, scoring more points than the other team. If you bring the same cast of characters back and you add your player from Atlanta, or I know you wanted Gallinari.
Great shooter.
Is that team winning a championship? You just said no. If you have Kevin Durant and Jason Tatum and then you build a team around them with whatever pieces you have left and you'll go get those mid-level exception players, you have a legitimate shot of winning a title because you have two of the top 10 best players in the NBA on the same team. And that gets you a lot further than a team of a bunch of scrappy role players.
Well, I would rather two complimentary players to add to the team as
Who's
opposed
complimentary?
To break. If you get Gallinari and Herter, those are complimentary
players.
You just
said
that
you wouldn't win with them.
But if I can get both of them, if I only get one, no. If I can get both of them, absolutely. Or get me at least
Herter
and a backup big. Hold on, we got to take a call, Wiggs. Hold on. Ricky, Ricky's calling in from beautiful Plymouth, which we talked about moving to earlier today. We love Plymouth. We love the calls. Ricky, what do you got?
Hey, how you doing? So, Ricky, I'm on your side, brother. I respect the outlook. My thing will be, say we move Williams Brown to 2 first-round picks, mm-hmm. to trade obsessions for KD. That'll be enough. We'll keep Smart. Keep Jason. Get KD. Go after Miles Bridges.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just said he got arrested the other day. He's kind of a hothead. Bring him in. KD will easily wrap him in. Emay's a great coach. We'll have a few of the bench players still. Move Grant Williams. That guy's a bum. Move him out. See if Al wants to go to the bench. Have Miles Bridges come in as a role player starter, along with Robert Williams. With Robert Williams being gone.
Mm-hmm.
And there's your team. You still protect your bench.
Mm-hmm.
You can go after Joe Harris, because if they're blowing up Brooklyn, then right. Joe Harris is going to get let go. I respect that. And I do like the Gallinari take you just took also. You can't go wrong with any of that. Wiggy, you're not crazy. The Texans are haters, like you like to say. And happy 4th, guys, and enjoy yourself. You soon.
Thank you very much for the call, Ricky. See, we appreciate
when
it.
When you have something
long enough, you'll find someone to agree with you.
But when you have two guys, see, a lot of the problem is, Courtney, is they think, oh, you have just Kevin Durant and Jason Tatum. But you can still build a team around them.
Any of the current guys that you could keep, that you'd be okay keeping, that you think would
like
add?
If you
Al Horford?
But if you have to move on from, let's say you have to move on from Brown, let's say they want Brown and Rob Williams. Okay, you could still keep Smart. Maybe, like you said, you can maybe, if you can afford to keep Al Horford, fine. If not, you move on from him and you get the Gallinari or you get another player. You know, he brought up Miles Bridges. There's a couple other guys. Like, there's a, why am I drawing a blank on his name right now? The center that played for JaVale McGee, right? So there's guys like that might be out there that you can put around these, you know, Tatum and Durant, that will allow you to build a team. But with those two guys, that's championship caliber.
As much as it pains me to table this discussion momentarily, there is some big news in the wide world of hockey, particularly in Boston with your Bruins. A new coach is headed to town, a surprise candidate, Jim Montgomery, from out of nowhere last night. We learned of it. In just a few minutes, our pal, the Razor, Andrew Raycroft, calls in to the Greg Hill Show this morning to tell us a little bit about him. So let's learn a little bit about our new coach, Jim Montgomery of the Boston Bruins, next with the Razor here on WEEI.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.